Foodie Films is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For all things Cage Club related, head on over to cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me. Foodie fans, how's your October going? Getting ready for Halloween? Did you buy a bunch of bags of candy? Did you eat those candy? Then buy more candy? I'm trying, you know. I'm out of sight, out of mind, trying to be good, but this time of year it's tough. But yeah, I mean, you can say that for every season. You know, there's always a reason to drink and to eat. I mean, football, my Giants are doing god awful, but you sit down, you watch a game, you have a couple of beers, and then this past weekend I went up to an Oktoberfest in upstate New York, and then I had some friends visiting, and we went to Chinatown and had some late night Chinese food. And I gotta start buckling down instead of unbuckling my pants. Why am I sharing this with you guys? I don't know. Hopefully, you're listening. Maybe you can sympathize. I don't know. But anyway, maybe I should watch some more horror films, because the one we're talking about today, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, that made me a little queasy. Didn't want to eat as much. Some good, cannibalism happening in the film. But this one wasn't as violent as this is the 74, the original, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the slasher film. And but it wasn't as violent as I remember. It's not like the gross 2003 one. 2003 one is not ugh as a film. I don't know. I haven't watched in a while, but ugh as far as the visuals. This one, it's not as crazy. It's a scary film, but there still are some plain gross moments, especially because it leaves it to your imagination, which can be the scariest thing of all. But we're gonna talk plenty about that. My guest Zach Bressler, he and I, we sit down, we talk about it. We talk about food, obviously. We talk horror, and then we talk a very funny scene from a classic comedy. And but first, need to talk to Cage Club Podcast Network related things. First, check out the most recent episode of Third Time's a Charm. That's the Michael Manzi, his own. He's got a bunch of podcasts, and he's a co-host on a bunch of podcasts. This is his solo podcast, and I've been on some, episodes, and this one, he did a special episode. It didn't come out the third of the month, but he covered Leatherface, which is the third installment of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre franchise. Now, I wasn't sure if I was going to be doing this movie, but I told them, I'll definitely let me promote it. This is a great companion piece for this episode. So once you're done with this episode, check out that one. Check out Leatherface. And second is that now we have a podcast on the network coming to an end. That's the Watch the Theron. I don't know. I forget. Theron? Charlize Theron. Well, it's the podcast about the Academy Award-winning actress, and it's a great podcast. And since it's coming to an end, Joey and Mike, they're doing the, you know, they usually do awards for their podcasts, and this award show is called the Chrome Teeth. Why? I don't know. Find out. Listen to it and vote, because now you can vote on cageclub.me. Again, that's cageclub.me. And they have a bunch of fun categories for all of, you know, her performances, you know, from you know, she's a villain in some movies, she's a hero in others, and then, you know, they have it for other categories for supporting actors. And so that'll be fun. I have to vote myself, and so you guys again go on to cageclub.me and vote for the you know, the Chrome Teeth Awards. And that's it. So Leatherface, cageclub.me for Chrome Teeth Awards, and obviously check out all the other fantastic podcasts on the network. And right now, listen to this fantastic podcast. Zach, thanks for coming on Foodie Films. What's happening?
Thanks for having me.
So you once guested on P.S. I Love Hoffman, my prior, sounds like my prior conviction, my previous podcast with Brian Rodriguez, and that was Boogie Nights, a very similar movie to today, right? You
Oh, definitely. Lots of meat.
Lots of meat. That should be the saying for today's episode, just lots of meat. But before we get into the movie at hand, I just want to talk just like film in general, food in general with you. So, you know, it's the Halloween season. That's why last week we had Killer Tomatoes, this week the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original 1974. What, I mean, you're into horror. We even you directed a horror suspense film, and that's when we kind of first became friends, because well, for those of you listening, Zach he works at Ramapo College. Or do you want people to know that?
Yeah, I don't care.
Okay, yeah. So Zach works at Ramapo College, and he teaches a film course here. And my sophomore, going into my sophomore year, he had you were kind of like my advisor, and then you were shooting a low budget horror film over that summer called.
Yeah, we're doing the like a C grade. We're aiming to be a make it a horror movie, but the budget and problems turn it kind of into a thriller.
Yeah, more thriller.
Yeah,
there are definitely horror elements.
But it was yeah, full student crew and stuff. I mean, not the cast wasn't all students, but there were a good amount of students in the cast. Yeah. It's called Semester's End. One day it's going to be released.
Yeah, hopefully there's. I know there's some workings right now of it being released through like a kind of like a separate company, right?
Yeah, there's Scream Time Films out of Texas. They release low budget horror films. I signed a contract, so hopefully soon I'll be able to get it out to the world, this masterpiece in filmmaking
What was your like first? Do you remember your first like horror film experience, and like what
The
makes you
film
enjoy?
that I saw? Or,
Yeah.
oh, my mother was a crazed horror film fanatic.
Okay.
So every weekend we'd go to the video store, local video store. I think back in the day, and like in the suburbs of Philly, West Coast Video, I think it was
Yeah,
called.
West Coast Video. So is that or Blockbuster?
Yeah, this is
Those
before Blockbuster though.
are
I'm a young man. And so my parents would pick out like the craziest low budget horror,
Yeah.
crazy stuff like that. And it, we didn't have much restrictions as far as like what we can watch and stuff like that. So
So, yeah, you're.
we sort of watched those pretty much as a family. My brother was too much of a chicken shit to watch any of it. He was on one of your podcasts as well.
Yeah, he was on the Punch Drunk Love, and he also, and he's directing
he ironically he directs horror films
Yeah.
now, but as a child he can I say like a real short little
Yeah,
I want, you
please.
know, I want to try and embarrass him as
Oh,
much as
yeah.
possible.
Yeah.
He watched American Werewolf in London, which is a comedy film.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's got scary
It
elements
terrorized
to
the
it.
kid.
Yeah.
The
How
kid
old was he?
um
Guesstimate.
Guesstimate probably 7 or 8 or something like that.
That's, you know what, I'm not defend, but like I'm a chicken shit too, so I can appreciate it. But
Okay.
continue.
But he's been booby trapping his doors ever since, and he still does to this day. He tells me, he's married with a child, and it's like he booby traps the, his bedroom
Yeah,
door and
he's
stuff
living in
like,
Texas, so he better watch out for the
Exactly,
chainsaws.
exactly. He's where they like barbecue, so.
Do you have, like I said, like, oh, I want to, do, like a Halloween film, and then, like, and when I think horror, you come to mind. So then we were debating which film to talk about, and I decided to go with Texas Chainsaw. But what are your, which what are like, you could go with top five, or if you just have a number one, like, what are your horror
Yeah,
films?
I just I realized I really gave you like the politician answer of that of your question a second ago. So I'll answer in the fact that like, I mean, for earliest heart like would be like still like one of my like Halloween, the original Halloween.
Yeah.
And to me, that was scary.
Okay.
The like the
The
when
boogeyman element.
yeah when she looks out her window and there's a guy just standing looking in the window from the clotheslines and stuff. That's the only kind of stuff that really freaked me out. Ghost stories, monsters and stuff never really did.
Okay.
Like the like that was a scary movie. That and like just the thought of that, just someone like just standing there staring at your window. It's like that's pretty freaky. But like the original Nightmare on Elm Street. That I mean, to this day I like that's still a great film.
I guess because it deals with the uncontrollable, right? That's dreams,
Yeah.
and then the unstoppable boogeyman.
Right. And then even the sequels, like where they became more like comedy and stuff. I mean, it's just a great character, the Freddy Krueger character. That was, it wasn't as scary per se, but I'll never, I remember like in middle school, like Nightmare on Elm Street 3 came out and the Dream Warriors one, and it was like, other than having like a like the Hard Rock soundtrack that I was, totally digging at the time. But like it was just, I remember going with my friends to see that in the theater and stuff. It was just awesome,
Yeah.
you're waiting for the one-liners that Freddy comes up
Oh
with and
yeah.
stuff
Well,
like,
he's like, shut up, bitch.
You're on
Like,
prime time now,
yeah.
bitch, when he sticks the head through the window, through the TV screen and stuff. I mean, yeah, like so the Nightmare on Elm Street series is really good.
Any modern ones you've seen? Like, I had Heather
Oh
Drew
yeah.
on last week, and she's discussed that now it's called, like, smart horror.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, Let the Right One In.
Oh
Both
yeah.
versions, the American and the Swedish
So
one.
yeah, Swedish, yeah.
I think they're both fantastic,
Yeah.
actually. I really like both. I'm a big book reader, so I read the book and stuff. So the American one kind of follows the book a little better than the Swedish one
Oh,
does.
okay.
But the ambiguity of the Swedish one makes it like really
Yeah.
creepy and where it's not as close to the book, but it's really cool, very well made film. Yeah, actually, you asked me before we even started recording, have I seen any films lately? And I lied to you.
Oh.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre was not the only recent film. I saw A Quiet Place, which I thought was pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah, I saw that
That
in
was
theaters.
okay. That was
Yeah.
cool. That
That was
was
a good, we brought that up on last week's episode as well. That was a great use of sound, like,
right. And I think one that you, I mean, and I didn't watch it just recently, but one that you recommended, It
Oh,
Follows.
yeah.
Didn't you recommend that to
Yeah,
me?
I
I
did.
think, yeah, that was a good one too.
My little
More
realm.
recent.
Horror is at the bottom of the genre, that I have in interest in. I do, I said last week, like the Hitchcock and, like that style, like the suspense thriller, the Psycho, or even, I mean, if you want to include then Spielberg with Jaws. But I'm just not like a slasher, especially like the modern slashers with just all the gore. Like
Yeah.
I it just it, I
Like
just find it, I
the
find it more disgusting than scary.
Saw kind of
Yeah,
that kind
just
of, yeah. I mean the original Saw was
yeah, 'cause that's like got like a
kind of interesting
twist
and
versus,
ingenious. Yeah,
yeah.
that was good. But yeah, no, I see what you're saying. It's more about,
The
like you
gross
said,
out than like.
right, and like films like Halloween and even Texas Chainsaw Massacre here, it's not that gory. You don't
No,
see
it
much
really
blood at
isn't.
all.
The remake, the 2003 remake
I
that I
don't think
saw
I've
in
seen it.
theaters, that was That was gory. Okay, you see, like, in this, when they put her on the hook, you don't see her go on the hook. In that movie, you see a hook going. I'm like, ugh, I don't need to, you know.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. So it's like, you know, they become more, like, uncomfortable and stuff like that. And it's, you know, there's definitely a market for it, and there's a place. But, like the whole setting, and that's why the films that I mentioned, it's like those films, like, they evoke fear without having to, you know, be over the top. Although I you know, like kind of old, you know, most of the audience probably never even seen these films, like the Herschel Gordon Lewis films, the Blood Feast and 2000 Maniacs. I don't know if you've ever seen 2000 Maniacs. They made a remake of it with Robert Englund in it, actually, which was, it's gore, but it's kind of comedy to it. Like 2000 Maniacs is the original one. You should check that one out, actually. It's pretty good.
Are you, since Halloween is, like, you know, up there on the pedestal for you, I'm sure you'll see it eventually, but are you excited for the new one?
I don't know.
Did you read, like, what they're doing?
Well, I know John Carpenter's involved with it.
He did the music. Supposedly the music's good.
Yeah, I know John Carpenter's involved with it, and it's bringing Laurie Strode back into the mix and stuff. And, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's kind of like they just kind of numbed you to it by making so many sequels, and they've brought Laurie Strode back in other.
Well, okay, so, I mean, this is, they make it kind of like a, it's out there. It's not a spoiler. Like, you know, like, you don't have to have seen the movie to know this, but they're negating everything after the first one.
Well, the second one's good.
No, but that's it. But that's, like, not even, like, in the trailers. They're like, oh, didn't, you know, isn't, like, your grandma related to Michael? And it's like, no, that's just a rumor. Like, they are totally in this world. It goes Halloween, and now this, this Halloween movie is being called.
Yeah.
Which got the blessing from Carpenter, so I don't, you know.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Is it zombie making it?
No.
No?
No, it's David Gordon Green, who makes, like, comedies. And what's his name? Eastbound and Down. He wrote it.
Oh, he wrote it?
He co-wrote it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm a Danny McBride.
Yeah. Who I've met at Comic-Con.
Oh, yeah. You met him at Comic-Con. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
he was cool. He was a cool guy.
Yeah, I should also say Zach. I mean, we said that we worked on, you wrote a film and directed it, and then you teach a course here, but, I mean, you work in production as well, and that's pretty cool. You've done, for how many years now, Comic-Con in San Diego? Like six, I feel like?
Six or seven, something like that.
That's awesome.
That's fun. Pretty cool, you know, people. It's the coolest gig.
Yeah, it's up there.
It's a lot of fun.
Still didn't meet Bill Murray, though.
Get the geek out. I missed the Bill Murray shoot.
Yeah.
You were lucky on that one. I did the Adam Lambert the day before.
Did that one too. Yeah, exactly. Adam Lambert before he was part of my favorite band of all time, which movie's coming out next week, so I need to go see that.
Uh-huh.
But before we get into Texas Chainsaw, I'm just going to ask you a couple of, like, food kind of related questions, just because, hey, it's called Foodie Films. Was there a point in your life that you did kind of, because I know you enjoy food, and we talk about food, and even recently you were in Poland, and you had a layover in Munich, and I told you kind of, like, where to go. And even then, we don't even have to talk food. We could talk a little bit about beer, because I know you enjoy beer and Captain Morgan. We're laughing because there's a side story from my college days at Captain Morgan. But anyway, was there a point that you went, like, oh, food is more than just, like, sitting down for breakfast, lunch, dinner? Like, do you remember a time where, like, it became more of, like, I enjoy this meal, I want this? I mean, it could have been at a young age, but from parents cooking or going out to eat?
I don't know. I think it's more, you know, as you get older and stuff like that, and then you remember, like, dishes you might have had when you were younger.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of something. And it's like, I get this craving for something that's, like, I haven't had in 20 years or something. And it's like, and then I gotta, like, figure out how to make it or you know, or find it or whatever. That's something that kind of, like, happens from time to time.
I think, actually, you are the first parent I'm having on my podcast. I think so. Sorry if I'm forgetting previous guests. But I'm intrigued, actually, because now I've recently become an uncle, and I'm around, you know, like a baby much more, and I see my sister now as a mother. But as a parent in the world of food, like, what experiences, like, have you had with that? Just even because what triggered it was you saying, like, haven't had a meal since, like, your childhood, and you're thinking about that. Are there any food things that you're carrying on for your kids as far as even just, like, oh, I had this when I was a kid, let me, like, you know, my kids should try this, or just even trying to get your kids into food.
Trying to get my kids to eat. You've seen my kids. They're freaking string beans. But
well, they're athletic.
Well, one of my daughters doesn't eat. I think it's a conquest. This has nothing to do with my childhood, but, like, I got all my kids hooked on Moe's, though. So,
oh, yeah, that's Moe's. Like, you got me into
Moe's. That's our place. Yeah. So it's,
we have a place.
Yeah, we have a place. We've broken bread. So, like, you know, my kids are really into that. There's a dish that is funny. It's kind of like a throwaway dish that my mother used to make when, like, her and my father would go out, and she'd just throw something together. It was mac and cheese, but it's like homemade mac and cheese. It's not, like, you know, out of the box. And then she used to put, like, chop up chicken and put it and then bake it in the oven. And it was like, she would, like, melt down Velveeta and milk and stuff like that. It was really, like, creamy heavy, and also, like, blocks you up for, like, 4 days afterwards. Yeah. I've done it, like, I don't know if I've made it for my daughters yet, but I've made it for my son, and I do it instead of the chicken, I do it with bacon. Like, my kids, that's the one thing my kids will eat, and it's pretty awesome. It's like mac and cheese with bacon, you know, like that. Yeah, that's a good dish. But
well, you know what, let's start talking Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It came out, like I said, in 1974. It's directed by, is it Tobe Hooper? Toby Hooper? It's T-O-B-E.
I've heard it pronounced Tobe.
It's so, okay. Yeah. Let's go with Tobe Hooper. I just want to say that, just, like, fuck this guy, because he also directed... Have you ever seen the movie Invaders from Mars?
No. It's, I don't think so.
It's this movie that scared me so much as a kid. And I saw it on, like, basic kit, probably, like, on WB11, where even some, like, I'm sure there must be some scarier parts that were even taken out of it. But the concept is, this kid is, wakes up to, like, he, you know, it takes place in, I think, like, California, where it's, like, hilly, and he just wakes up seeing this bright light land, you know, from his bedroom window on the other side of this hill, like, in the distance. And then all his family members and friends start acting weird, and they realize they're all, like, been taken over by these aliens. And there's just this huge, scary looking, like, brain looking alien that just scared the shit out of me. And then when I'm looking on, I never knew who directed it, and then I'm looking at what else this guy has directed, which he also directed the second Chainsaw Massacre. He directed Poltergeist, which, do you know, have you ever heard, like, people say, like, Spielberg technically directed that, but then, you know, because it is a Spielberg produced movie, and I think he kind of wrote
it. Yeah, it's got that Spielberg feel.
Yeah. But, you know,
Tobe Hooper directed it, though? Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. I didn't know that.
But then, and he also, but the
that
best.
That was a scary movie.
But I think the best thing he ever directed, the Dancing with Myself music video.
With the
Billy Idol.
Oh, Billy Idol one. Yeah. Okay.
That's the, he also.
I was thinking Dancing in the Street. No, Dancing in the Streets with Mick Jagger. Bowie and Jagger, where they're, like, flittering around, you know.
We're out in LA.
As much as I love the two, it's like, yeah, I don't know about that one.
But yeah, he directed the Dancing with Myself music video. Okay. So that's pretty good right there. But I mean, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, it was inspired by the guy, the serial killer. He wasn't even technically a serial killer, but Ed Gein. Because of that whole, but that inspired then Silence of the Lambs and Psycho.
Right.
But and then,
see, we need these people.
Yeah.
They and inspire then, us. Yeah.
And then Tobe Hooper got the idea while standing in a hardware section of a crowded store during Christmas shopping, and he was just like, how would I get out of here? And he spotted chainsaws, and that combined with hearing the Ed Gein, you know, story, that's how he came up with,
really,
Texas.
Ironically, it's like, don't, like, three of them die by a hammer?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah, one's a hammer, one's like a hatchet, Yeah, a lot of them are bludgeoned,
Yeah,
and the
and
only
they want to do it to the girl too with grandpa,
yeah,
but
and the only time we see Chainsaw on flesh is to his leg towards the end.
Right. Yes.
But not unlike the 2003 remake that you see like a saw literally going through somebody, and I just not for me. But I mean, this is what I mean. So, what do you think? You know, what do you think of this original Texas Chainsaw?
And you know, when you asked me to do this, so rewatching, I haven't watched this film in years. You know, it's this wasn't one, you know, one of those ones from childhood that I really remembered, like, oh, you know, like that stuck, that I rewatch, you know, like the Halloweens and Nightmare on Elm Street. But yeah, I mean, in watching it this for this viewing, it was I mean, it has a lot of the tropes. I mean, it's early. It's so I'm not say it's not taking from anything.
Yeah.
It's this is 1974, so
Yeah, I
this
think
is
Halloween 77, 78?
78, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is you know, this is very early on in that whole genre, and it's like yeah, it's well made in that sense. I mean, it's, you know, super low budget, you can tell, but it's like you know, it's got those like really offbeat like country characters
Yeah.
that it's like I you know I forgot like how weird the freaking characters are. I mean, obviously there's the guy with the leather mask running around
Of
trying to saw
course.
people, but the family members or whoever those guys the other guys are, it's like
Yeah.
they're just really off. And it's like, yeah, you know what I was thinking of? I was thinking like, oh, Eli Roth takes from this, like in Cabin Fever and stuff, like with his characters. I'm sure he got this, like, inspired him for those characters,
Yeah,
you
I
know?
wonder, you know, again, not being well versed in horror, like, after, you know, because even, I mean, not that it was a horror movie, but, like, you know, Deliverance definitely has the stereotypes of the, you know, and which that was,
It's pretty horrifying.
you know, it is, you know, exactly. But I'm just trying to think of, like, the Southern or, like, the, you know, like, mountain stereotypes. Like, what, like, I'm trying, The Hills Have Eyes, I don't
Yeah,
even
Hills
have,
Have Eyes.
you know,
Yeah,
like,
that's Wes Craven, right?
yeah. But I don't even remember like what, I don't know what year that is, but I feel like this definitely did start like some, you know, classic horror elements that a lot of other, like you're saying, that you could see maybe Eli Roth has taken
Oh,
from. And you can also, I really enjoyed it watching it this time. I mean, I was, you know, still like a little like a little uncomfortable watching it, but I was trying to watch it for just like dissecting it, you know, film wise, production wise, and you could see like the actors are having fun with it, like with these like the
Oh, being
wacky
over the
cat,
top,
yeah,
big
just be,
time.
yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely.
I like what the actor that played like the hitchhiker that ends up being like Leatherface's brother or whatever. He said filming the dinner scene, so like when they're taunting Sally and everything, was the worst time of my life. And then to continue that quote, and I had been in Vietnam with people trying to kill me. So I guess that shows how bad it was because supposedly it was like 100 degrees every day, zero air conditioning, and they had legitimate like raw meat on the table and it was going bad. And then even they only, because it was a low budget, the actor Gunnar Hansen that plays Leatherface, he wore one, they only had like, because they dyed it a certain color, so they couldn't wash his shirt. So it just had like 30 days of sweat and running around, and just like no one, even
Lovely,
when he went for like lunch on set, no one sat by him because it was just that disgusting. And so according to, yeah, the actor that, you know, played the hitchhiker, he said that that dinner scene was just
Yeah, I mean, and
unbearable.
it like you said, it looks, you know, it's that, talk about uncomfortable. I mean, that's
Yeah.
like, and that was the that was the other funny thing. Like I said, I've seen this film before, and I'm like, I'm watching it during that scene. I'm like, I thought that she makes it at the end, and I'm like, how the hell is she gonna make it? You know,
Yeah.
like, so I was still in suspense a little bit. I was
Yeah.
just like, I'm like, from what I remember, she does escape, doesn't she? It was like they can't, and there was still like 15, 20 minutes left in the film. I'm like, where's this going? It's like,
It
I
gets,
totally
yeah.
forgot. And it's a long scene, so it's
It
really
is.
uncomfortable. Yeah, like, you know, it's, you feel, I mean, she's going through hell, you know? It's like
Oh, yeah.
awful.
I mean, that character, all the other ones kind of like they get killed, not like right away in the sense that it's throughout the movie, but when they have their interaction, they get killed.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Except for the one girl that's unfortunately put in the freezer, and the guy opens up the freezer, and she right. pops up, and then Leatherface comes out and, again, hits him either with the hammer or the hatchet or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And this Leatherface is very interesting. I know, again, the actor Gunnar Hansen said that he studied people with, like, that, like, had speech impediments and also a bit, like mental illness, because that's what he was... figured he'd go for with the character, and that's mm-hmm. what the director was saying as well. But it's weird, like, you almost, like, at some points in the movie you feel like a little sympathetic for him, just in his mannerisms after he kills somebody. He's like almost contemplating, what did I do? And then I probably only seen this cut, this version once in full,
mm-hmm.
but the ending is so interesting. Like, did you know, you haven't seen it in a while, and mm-hmm. you were both definitely more well-versed in film now than probably the last time we saw it. What did you think of the ending? I got almost like a Kubrick vibe to it, that, like, A Clockwork Orange, that all of a sudden this classical music starts, and just very, I don't know, just almost felt like an art house movie at the end.
It's funny thing is, in this viewing, I'm like, what happened to the trucker?
Yeah. He just, yeah, exactly.
He was running with her, and all of a sudden he's gone.
Yeah.
And she's in the car.
He just kept running down the road.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you see that?
Yeah, you just see, he just keeps running in the distance, and then that pick, because then he, and the pickup passes him, and then she's running, and she tries, and then she gets into the pickup, and the pickup.
Uh-huh.
So he just keeps running down the road, and I guess he's hoping to come back later and
find his truck. Yeah, he's got to finish his delivery.
Yeah.
I mean. I'm thinking of from the working man perspective, yeah. You know, he's got to finish his job, you know, yeah. It's like
tries to do a good deed, and just throws that monkey him, wrench. You know? It's definitely like, it's a bit like it shows its production value at some points like that.
Oh yeah, like, without a doubt. Yeah.
Like, it's the newer version. I'm not a fan of. I mean, now that even then there was, like, they did the 2003 one, and then they did a prequel to that, like, after that, that was, I think, the same director, and then there was one that came out in, I think, 2013 that was, like, 3D, it was just called Texas Chainsaw, and I think even after that, then there was one that was from, like, Leatherface when he was, like, a little boy or whatever, like, that was really weird. But point being, I remember the 2003 one, like, the best, and it is, I will say it's better in the sense that it's a bit more tight, and it just, like, in the, like, that when she runs away, there isn't, like, the, it's like she gets on with a trucker and then, like, gets out of there. And I think the trucker, the, like, final scare is, like, the brother, or no, the truck hits the brother, she gets in the truck, and then, you know, Leatherface comes out one more time for the final scare, gets a little, you know, like, the chainsaw hitting the truck, and the truck drives away or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's a little better in that sense. But I did like this ending that, again, it was weird because it's a movie that really doesn't have music. You know, there are some horror movies that, like Halloween, that have an amazing mm-hmm. score to it.
Right.
But then this is definitely a movie. What did you think about that element as far as, except you just said you saw A Quiet Place. So the world of sound and music in this film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think it works for this film. I don't think a score really, you know, they wanted to give you that, like, backwoods kind of quiet feel to it. Like, to, I guess that also, like, adds to, like, the hopelessness of the situation, because they're, like, so, you know, so far from everything, from society, pretty much, you know, like, that's...
Yeah, the one, like, set, they have that, like, is, like, the fame, like, I feel like...
Yeah, I mean, there's sound effects, you know, there's stuff going on that are, that add to the, you know, that are sounds in the film that work, you know, but, you know, like the generator continually running and stuff like that. Like, it was the sound effects as instead of, like, soundtrack, you know?
Yeah, those are the things, and to the movie's credit, that they're not showing you a lot of the acts of violence. Like, you see him, the big ones are getting bludgeoned on the head
mm-hmm.
when all of a sudden, then the sliding of, like, the metal door, like, afterwards, which is, I feel like, a very iconic image of this movie.
Right? Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah.
But yeah, just like that element, and then not showing again, like in the new one, they show you like the person being put onto that meat hook, but in this, it's the sound. And that's why this movie did get like a, I think it was like NC-17 when it first, or it got down to an R rating. They were gonna give it NC-17 or
Really?
whatever the highest rating was at that time, and it was not allowed in like a lot of countries as well. But yeah, I mean, and also I definitely, like I said, like the ending. There was a lot of the cinematography in this movie that I haven't, I guess because of its indie nature, but just like that dinner scene, the close-up on her, it just keeps getting tighter and tighter to her eyes. Like I thought it was, I really enjoyed the
It's
cinematography.
more claustro. It makes it feel more claustrophobic
Yeah.
and
And
uncomfortable.
uncomfortable, yeah, the personal space, because those guys are just like surrounding her and just, you know what, let's right now, we haven't talked about the scene, but we'll talk about it afterwards. But let's play. I found a good, it's good audio and just a good clip as far as its length and everything. But let's play you the gas station scene.
Would you fill her up, please?
I got no gas.
You're out of gas?
My tank's empty. Transport won't be here until late this afternoon. Maybe not even until tomorrow morning.
Hey, you know where the old Franklin place is?
The old Franklin place?
Yeah, it's an old two-story rock house and it's sitting up on a hill. I think you have to turn on that road back there, but I'm not real sure.
Yeah, maybe I seen something like that up that way. Well, now look, you boys don't want to go mess around the old house. Those things is dangerous. You're liable to get hurt.
Hey, we'll be careful.
You don't want to go fooling around other folks' property. Some folks don't like it, and they don't mind showing you.
Oh, my father owns it.
And that's your daddy's place, huh?
Yeah.
Look, I got some good barbecue here. Why don't you fellas stick around here a while? The transport will be by in a little while.
Yeah, you want to get some barbecue?
Them girls now, they don't want to go messing around no old house. Best you stick around here.
So this is, again, that very quintessential scene that I feel like happens in a lot of horror movies before they go and, you know, go down the wrong road or end up at the cabin or what have you.
Yeah, it kind of gives him a warning. It wouldn't
Yeah.
be a good idea to walk around on people's property, you
Yeah,
know?
exactly. Almost, it feels like almost, you know, like some of those movies where then the whole town is in on it, like almost like they're just like, we know what happens there and we just don't want to deal with it kind of vibe. He's like, just stay and have some barbecue. And I'm about to be going to Dallas and Austin next week for a bachelor party. And it made me for the first time in a while not excited for barbecue.
When
But
the guys got the sausage hanging out at
yeah.
the handicapped guy
Yeah.
in the wheelchair.
Yeah, just it's, so folks, lesson learned, you know, take the barbecue, don't wait for the gas truck, don't.
What that was about, but
Let's see, we kind of talked. Oh, one other thing I really liked. I noticed after, when he was bludgeoning, I think that was Kirk. Yeah, Kirk's death. They also, to add to that, the sound element, they put pig noises
yes,
into it.
because it they're talking about slaughterhouses and stuff
Yeah.
like that, so they, there was a little bit of symbolism there.
Definitely. I mean, I would be remiss if we also didn't say how this was a cannibal movie. So hey, it fits into foodie films. I've never eaten any, you know, human flesh or anything like that, Zach,
That you know of.
that I know of.
You've had barbecue in Texas before, have you not?
I have. Hey, you're the Cowboys fan here, so you support a team of that, you know.
We just eat up the competition.
You're 3-3. We're 1-5, so touche. I'm sorry, Zach and I have a big, our two biggest rivalries, football and Star Wars versus Lord of the Rings. But any final thoughts on just on the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, just from.
I not viewing it for so long, and like I said, it didn't stick with me like some of those other films back in
Yeah.
the day. And like just rewatching it, I just, I enjoyed it. I appreciate, like you said, like the art house feel to it, because it was he was trying to do some different stuff, more interesting kind of, cinematic kind of stuff.
It really sounded like he did. He was asking a lot of his cast and crew, which is always a big and borderline like tough thing to do when you. I think the budget was originally $60,000, then they ran into some problems in like post, and then they needed to sell some of their shares as far as the directors and the producers of the film. Mm-hmm. But it ended up doing well, and obviously spawned like a bunch of sequels.
The thing, not only sequels. Like I said, I was watching it with a different set of eyes this time too, and it's inspired so many horror films and stuff. Yeah. I saw the Rob Zombie series, the House of
Thousand Corpses.
Yeah, House of a Thousand Corpses, and then the Devil's the sequel to that.
Oh yeah, Devil's Rejects.
Devil's Rejects. That's it. You saw elements of that, like I said, Cabin Fever with Eli Roth. Mm-hmm. I was watching.
Definitely Hostel too.
Yeah, I'm like I'm watching. I'm like, wow, this really didn't. It inspired a lot of films.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's in the, in music they say the Godfather, the King, the Prince, and they get the titles. This definitely does fall into that category of just like, the hierarchy of, I think, of the genre.
Yeah, because, if you really look at those films, like the slasher, original slasher films that had millions of sequels, all of them did.
Yeah. The Friday the 13th.
See, I think that's so overrated. That's where I was going with this.
Okay.
I think Friday the 13th is overrated. I don't think that first one's a very good movie.
The one that the mom is. Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Yeah,
the mom.
But it wasn't, I don't think it was that strong of a movie. And then they just got weaker as they went along as well. And the Halloweens and Nightmare on Elm Streets and this one, I don't really remember the sequels to this or anything like that, but it's just like, I don't know. It's a pretty strong beginning. It's a strong, strong film.
No, I really enjoy, it seems like the actors are having a fun time. The director's really trying to create something original and doing a lot with a low budget. I totally dig that, and I it just seemed like Gunnar Hansen, again, the actor that played Leatherface, did a lot with that character. And one of the little last trivia that I loved reading was that even with he wore like lift shoes, so he was taller or whatever, and even in those he ran faster than Marilyn Burns, who played Sally. So he had to when he was chasing her, have to come up, and that's why he's just like, that's why, like, that whole flailing of, just stopping and cutting things, like, that's where that came from, but I love that simple improvisation is what created this very memorable character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's a classy killer, too. He's wearing a suit most of the time, so, a tie versus, I think in the new one, they made him much more of, like, the butcher nature with, like, a leather apron and all that but yeah. So Texas Chainsaw Massacre, check it out if you haven't seen it. It's a great film to watch this time of year for Halloween. And well, let's move on and we'll talk a famous food scene. So Zach, I have, like you said, I've got some production value here. Got some folded up little pieces of paper, so just go ahead and select one and we'll talk whichever scene it is.
All right.
See if you can read my handwriting. What are we
doing? Oh, hell yeah. Back to School.
Oh, I was hoping you were going to pick that one.
Whore's Divorce. Yeah, Whore's.
All right. Let's play that scene for you.
I hate small fool, you know? Everybody, come here, will you? Put your hand right over there, will you? I learned this in Europe. Now look at him. Coming through hot stuff. Look at him.
Can I get your best Rodney Dangerfield right now?
Hey, I get no respect, though. Hey.
And I learned this in Europe.
Hey, somebody step on a duck? It's a different movie.
Different movie, but classic Dangerfield. This, I love this scene. I love this movie.
Oh, I love this movie.
Yeah, Tony.
I love Rodney Dangerfield. That's he's a man crush. I love Rodney Dangerfield. He's the best.
What you're saying that you saw this when
I saw this is another I mentioned earlier about junior high school. I think this film. I was in sixth or seventh grade. I remember riding my bike with a friend to the movie theater to go see this, and I think it was rated R.
Yeah, definitely.
And like you
there's
know,
there's boobs. There's and boobs. Bush right in the beginning.
Yeah, yeah. And
you're perfect.
Hey, this is you and Julio, and hey, what's with the midget? yeah, no, it's I mean, it was you know, Ronnie was like at the height of his.
Oh yeah.
You know, like,
hey, Shakespeare on me. I'm gonna tame her shrew.
Yeah, so this film came out, and I was like, oh, we got to see it. So me and the friend went and saw it, and definitely weren't disappointed. I have seen this many times since. I love this film. Yeah, I mean, you know, the Rodney Dangerfield delivery is impeccable. You know?
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
It's the best.
He's
you know?
One of the kings of, like, the one-liners or, you know.
Oh, yeah, and he just, you know, just delivers them at a rapid pace and with ease in this film. It's great.
And this is just a great scene for the character because he's just, you know, an average Joe that ended up creating a successful, like, huge... you know, conglomerate of a company, and this is his, I think, third or fourth marriage or something like that, and she just uses him for his money as having this fancy dinner. Again, he just, you know, we have no, only champagne, sir, you know, because of, you know, what the missus said, and so he lines his, you know, jackets up with beer, and he goes up and makes this, you
makes
know.
Makes himself
this,
a sub.
Yeah, makes himself, it's supposed to be this bread that, you know, I guess you just take a slice a piece of, and he just cuts it open, digs it out, puts some deviled eggs in it, and what a little Swedish meatballs, whatever other hors d'oeuvre goodies there are, and makes the sandwich, and then obviously, hey, you know, as you heard, hey, buddy, you know, put your head right there.
Hey, give me for a second.
Have you ever been in a party like that you just felt like just uncomfortable in or anything like that?
Pretty much any formal party.
Any formal party? Not a fan of the formal party?
No, no, come on. I'm Rodney Dangerfield at heart, no matter what my financial status ever becomes.
Remember, you're a melon.
Exactly.
That's a great, it's got Paulie from Rocky in it.
Yep. It's got
what's that? What's
Bert,
his name?
Burt Jones, is it? Bert, yeah, no,
I always want to say Burgess Meredith, but no, that's not
no,
it.
No, it's Burt.
Burt Young.
Burt Young.
Yeah.
Burt Young.
You almost worked with him one time, or did
yes,
you?
He was going to be in the Bill.
Yeah,
short film that I did. Yeah. He almost was. We almost got him to play the father character in it. Yeah, that would have been awesome.
But that you had. What were the two? You had what's his name from Blue's Clues, right?
Steve Burns from Blue's Clues and Devin Rattray from Home Alone.
Yeah. What's Buzz? Buzz's girlfriend.
Yeah.
Woof.
Yeah.
But this scene. I love this scene because, well, God knows I love a good sandwich, and it's just, and I'm someone. And I love a good. Not that this is a cocktail hour, but this is like a cocktail party, and I just love going to like a wedding or a formal event, and then just totally. It's usually about for me. It's about the food, and I just make myself a big plate. But he just. It's just again. It's a great. You're like, oh, I get this guy, and I probably want to be friends with him. And I want.
Oh, exactly. I mean, you go to. These formal cocktail parties and you end up starving because they got like little finger foods.
Yeah.
So Rodney's just like, I'm going to make myself a sub. You know, it's his house.
Yeah,
he's not even invited to this party.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And they find his wife cheating on him.
Yeah. That's the Julio.
Yeah, the Julio.
This is
yeah.
you and Julio by the pool house. This is you and Julio here. This, what's with the midget?
this is, I mean, just a, it's a classic comedy, and I think one of the further, you got Texas Chainsaw Massacre in the, this film pretty too far off, but that's why
this was unexpected to be talking about Back to School, you know, and
yeah,
you told me we're talking about Texas Chainsaw,
Massacre, two very different films, but that's what's great about food scenes is because you can find them in everything and anything. Moving on to the last segment here. Let me pull up my notepad. I've got the what I've dubbed gut instincts. So this is just a bit of a, you know, just whatever really comes to you first when I ask these following questions. And you know what? I'm going to remind myself. I'm going to take this pen here and write a new question. You're going to be asked a brand new question for the segment that I thought of in our conversation Ooh. Before when you're talking. So. It will be the debut of how many questions we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. It'll make it an even 14, so making it no more an unlucky number, but so favorite.
Good after I just bashed Friday the 13th.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Okay, so question one. Favorite fast food?
Burger King, I guess.
Not Moe's?
Well, exactly. is that considered fast food?
Could be considered fast food.
No, Moe's definitely.
Moe's, okay, yeah.
Moe's.
I know you like Wendy's though.
Joey's.
When we used to do
no,
the
games? No, I don't. I like Burger King.
You like Burger
Wendy's,
King more?
Yeah.
It was Wendy's was convenient.
Growing
on
up,
17.
We went to Burger King, so I, yeah, it was convenient.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
All. But it, and plus Wendy's is when I'm eating healthy because they put a piece of lettuce on your burger. Too.
Yeah. I'll ask you. I'll say go to drink, but I'll say go to because I know you enjoy both. So go to beer and go to like cocktail or hard liquor.
Guinness and Captain and Coke.
Captain and Coke and
yeah.
But what was you? What was because it's that, again it's fall. So didn't you figure out a few years ago what did you really like? Wasn't there Captain in? Wasn't some kind of cider? Or what I thought was
Captain Ginger Ale. I don't know. I drink that.
Oh,
too.
I thought there was one year that you like the Angry Orchard.
Oh,
wasn't it?
Yeah, what was that?
Also,
that was when we were doing that job in Syracuse together.
Yeah, that's what it was.
I don't remember. It was a
now
specialty.
We sound like Goodfellas. You know the job
hey,
up in Syracuse.
Hey, that we yeah. The body.
Hey, Tommy was in the grass.
Hey, the hoof. Yeah, the hoof.
But what was that? And you're like, this is delicious. And you started making
yeah,
it was, home.
It was something like yeah, it was something like Angry Orchard and Captain Morgan's or something like
yeah,
that.
You wouldn't
yeah,
think, yeah, the Angry Orchard side.
Yeah, it was something. It was like especially at that bar we went to yeah. Had yeah, where we had dinner. Yeah, I forgot
gotta
about it.
Yeah,
I,
yeah, you're welcome. There you go.
I have a bottle of Captain at home. Here there we go tonight, Friday night.
and Guinness, which I was just having the freshest of the fresh Guinness recently when I was back over in Ireland. So
nice.
It's
I've yet to do that, although this summer with my son's soccer team, we're going over to England and stuff.
Oh, might, you have to then.
We might go over
you
there.
You have
so
to.
We'll see.
It's right there. It's so easy.
Yeah.
It's like an hour flight.
I think that there's been talk of doing that, like traveling around the island and stuff like that.
It'll be the Guinness Brewery will feel like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory for you.
Oh, definitely.
Just start,
definitely.
You'll break out into musical number. That's how good it is.
Oh, definitely. Milkshake of the gods. Yeah, definitely.
Favorite childhood snack? You remember like one maybe that your mom would buy for you or make for you? Or
yeah, my house was like famous for having like the pantry was just full. Like my friends would come over. Just
oh,
so
you were that house?
Yeah,
nice.
Little Debbie Star Crunch. Did you ever have that?
No. I mean, I know Little Debbie.
Well,
Star-
yeah, it's the Little yeah. Debbie brand, but it was like a. I don't even know if they still make that. It's like it was like a circular chocolate thing like filled with like caramel and rice like crisp rice and it was good yeah and then the nutty bars too the little Debbie nut
yeah
Debbie nutty bars are pretty awesome too yeah.
That's I always loved so you that's cool that you were like that house my you know my friend Dan he was I mean it was when we were in high school because that's when he moved to like our area but his dad worked for Keebler. So this is like all the Keebler stuff in the basement.
Oh, Fudge Stripes too. I love Fudge
Stripes.
Oh
yeah, Fudge Stripes are awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was his basement. Did you ever watch? I know it was like a little past like the age that you'd be watching, but did you ever watch like that 70s show or like an episode?
Yeah, I've seen episodes. Yeah.
You know how
yeah.
It's like the basement they hang out.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That was the basement. Mm-hmm. That was always the best. The basement hang out with the snacks.
Mm-hmm.
That was so much fun.
Nice.
Sweet or savory?
Sweet.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Favorite food city?
Favorite food city.
Yeah. Ooh. Do you have like a, you know, I mean, you, again, you love Comic-Con. San Diego's known for like their fish tacos.
Yeah. I had fish tacos this past year, but
grew up in Philly, cheesesteaks.
I love the cheesesteak. Yeah. That's for damn sure. Everywhere I go, I eat pizza. That's the thing. I'm not a pizza connoisseur, but I'm everywhere I go. Yeah, and obviously you mentioned Poland, like getting the
international city you could name.
Potato pancakes with the Hungarian goulash on it. Oh yeah. God, it's so good. Yeah, that's.
So we want to put maybe it's Krakow up there then.
Yeah, I had. Oh my God, I had the best.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a little. Let's sidetrack. Talk about your trip to Poland. Like, what's your? I mean, your wife is Polish, and you've been over there a handful of times at least, right?
At least ten times.
Ten times. Yeah, awesome. So yeah. I mean, as I've talked about my international travels, what is that to you? Just like going over and obviously then eating food over there and just like.
Just fantastic. Just I've told you as well, like especially when, like, I remember when you were starting to do your journeys, I was like, for me, I didn't like the itinerary kind of travel.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I liked going into like the square of a town or whatever, sitting there having a beer, having some food, and just watching people and just like the, you know, we went to the Ukraine this year too, and I went to Lviv, and that was amazing, really cool town, and it was like. The beer is fantastic, and the, you know, the food, it's similar to, you know, like the Polish food, Russian
food.
Yeah,
the Eastern European. Yeah.
It's similar, a lot of meat and potatoes and stuff like that, but, yeah, no, it's just that kind of experience. It's just, you know, you can walk through museums and look at pictures and stuff like that, I like that more than just, like, exploring cities.
Yeah.
That way, just walking around, and you know, like we were with a tour. There was a tour that we bought like a package trip,
mm-hmm.
but we just were like, okay, where and when are we going
up,
back
to
the hotel? Like where we got to get on the bus, and we just separated. The other thing is the tour was in Polish, so it doesn't do me any good. And having my wife translate the whole time is kind of a waste of time. So, you know, so we just go and experience it ourselves. And we brought Dylan, my son. With us, so it was the three of us. We didn't bring the girls; they're too young. But so it was cool. It was a lot of fun. We just explored the city. You know, it's like that's awesome. Yeah,
it's awesome that your kids are getting that experience at a young age. Though, just traveling in general, mm-hmm. and then obviously maybe trying food that they might not be, you know, at an early age. But were you an adventurous eater as a kid?
No, not at all.
Like, didn't eat. Like, do you eat sushi?
No.
That's what,
my son does, but I don't. Yeah, no. My wife and son like it, but no, I don't need it.
All right, favorite cuisine.
Like type of food is that?
Yeah, Italian, Mexican.
Between Italian and Mexican,
probably. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Bingo! You hit it. Yeah, I would say Italian and Mexican. That's...
Any particular dish that you're just like, oh my God, that's just.
You know me with the Parmesan.
Yeah.
And Marsala, too. I love Marsala. And then on the Mexican side,
you like a good burrito.
Yeah, burritos and fajitas. I love fajitas, you know.
Guilty pleasure food. That food that, you know, I mean, for some people it's chips and all of a sudden they find themselves at the bottom of the bag really quick. You know, what's...
Oh, easy. Yeah. Triscuits. I love Triscuits. Oh my
really?
God! Yeah, man. I go through boxes of Triscuits. Like, Triscuits a lot. Yeah, and like simple stuff like, you know, like mac and cheese. I mentioned mac and cheese. Even like the Kraft, the box one. It's I can plow that, through that. Too.
Yeah, that's a good guilty comfort food.
Yeah.
Yeah. Favorite condiment.
Trojan.
what is it? Rock, Brian and I always quote it, but it's in Rocky 2. It's just like, you should invest in condominiums. Never use them.
Ketchup.
Ketchup?
Yeah.
I'm a ketchup.
I'm a ketchup guy.
Put ketchup on your ketchup?
Yeah. Yep.
What's the last thing you ate?
Last thing I ate, I had a ham and cheese sandwich and pretzels for lunch with a banana. Exciting.
What would your last meal be?
Last meal.
You could make it a three-course dinner if you with a little, you know, app dinner dessert, or you could just say, like, I just, or random dishes, whatever. Last meal.
Wow, that's tough. I don't know. Yeah, like I said, Parmesan's my go-to.
Yeah.
It might do like a nice chicken parm with a...
A Guinness and a...
Yeah. Or maybe glass of red wine with that.
Well, yeah. I would, yeah.
Yeah, glass of red wine, chicken parm. Or even, you know what I really like too? Shrimp scampi too.
Ooh. Oof,
I love shrimp scampi.
And some
like
linguine.
Yeah, that'd be good too. Hopefully my wife's making something good tonight because I'm getting hungry now.
Do you prefer to like eat at home or go out and eat?
You like to
cook too, right? You grill?
Yeah. I'm a griller. And you know my wife's a really good cook, so you know I like a good home cooked meal is good. I mean, like my kids love going. It's like they always want to go out, and it's like. I enjoy going out, like, you know, especially with, like, a group of friends or something like that. That's that's cool. But, yeah, nothing like a good home-cooked meal. Like, we go on those trips to Europe or wherever and stuff like that. Then we come home and it's like, oh, I look forward to, like, a nice home-cooked meal, you know. Like
some good pierogies?
Yeah. I mean, I love pierogies, but they're kind of... It's a lot of work to make those. We've done those together as a family.
Oh, that's nice.
That's not something that, like...
That's cool. That's
cool,
though.
Yeah, we've had friends over, and we did, like, a pierogi party and stuff like that. That's kind of cool. That's fun.
That's always cooking.
Have some drinks and make pierogies, because it's a lot of work
making
pierogies. That's a Polish dish.
Yeah, if you're making it from scratch, that's...
Yeah.
What would be your spirit food? What food... some people, I feel like they're going to say then, like, their favorite food, but, like, what... food do you think embodies your characteristics? And you could even make it a drink maybe or something like that, but what, you know, so think about your personality traits and what could, you know.
I have no idea.
You're a laid back guy.
Yeah, so what kind of food would that
I'm trying to think, right? So I feel like you fall more into the comfort food category.
It's definitely be a comfort food.
Yeah, so I'm trying to think, what would be...
I don't know.
You're the first person that I'm not gonna.
Yeah.
Boy.
I don't know.
A question at hand. We've got a couple more questions, and we'll be ending it. So we'll think about it. Maybe we'll have something in the next few minutes. This is the new question. What's your favorite movie snack? You go to the movies.
Oh yeah.
What are you getting?
Popcorn's always a great go-to. Twizzlers.
Twizzlers.
Yeah, this is no question about it.
Like the original, like
the original
flavor.
Red
yeah.
Twizzlers. I used to back in my movie hopping days, when young and single and stuff. I go and I buy a thing of Twizzlers, and go to town with the Twizzlers. Yeah, that's.
There you go. Yeah. Okay, I was never a big Twizzler fan.
Really? Yeah,
a little too bland for me.
Yeah, I always liked them.
Did you ever try to use them as a straw, even with the tiny?
Yeah, when I was younger, And they had the chocolate ones, too, and you could drink milk through them.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. I haven't tried the chocolate ones. I love chocolate, so. All right, this is the last question. What's the greatest lesson you've learned in food? I feel like you kind of actually touched on it in the beginning of the podcast, just as far as, just even from your childhood and, you know, like, and... maybe even like remembering dishes that you love and stuff like that. But what do you think is a good lesson that you've learned in food?
I don't know if it's so much of a lesson, but it kind of going back on, like, we've talked a lot about the travel and stuff like that.
Yeah.
When you're traveling, what you're thinking about what the next meal is. You know what I mean? It's like your travel is based around like I'm always thinking, I'm like, oh, whoa.
Yeah.
What are we going to do for dinner? You know, it's like, that's an exciting thing, you know, like, oh, okay, we just had lunch. What's next for dinner? You know, like, what are we having for breakfast tomorrow? You know, like, that's the kind of, that's the kind of, you know, like, food is, it can be part of the itinerary, I guess you can say. Like, it's part, you know, that's part of the exciting part of it, you know. Yeah. Like,
try to have the local experience too.
Right? Yeah,
that's my big thing. Like, I I would travel nonetheless if I still wasn't like as into food that I am.
Mm-hmm.
But when I go somewhere, I find myself now going on to insert, and God knows I post plenty of food pics. But the reason I do that is because when I started traveling, I would put like hashtag, you know, Dublin food or something like that, you mm-hmm. know, and you would see pictures, and that's what I love using social media for. And that's, or asking friends like, oh, you've been to the city, where have you gone?
Mm-hmm.
Or watching a show like Parts Unknown or Somebody Feed Phil or Ugly mm-hmm. Delicious. And I love seeing these, you know, there's so many great travel food shows now.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to have
that
more visceral, you know, local experience versus...
Oh, it's definitely, it's a big part of the trip. It's like what you're going to eat and stuff like that. Social media wise, I've been known to take a beer pick or two.
Yes. Well, Zach, thank you so much for coming on Foodie Films. I mean, right now, this is when, I don't know if there's anything that you want to, I guess we'll repeat for the listeners where the name of that company, where we might be able to find Semester's End eventually, like if you want to plug that.
Eventually, it's supposed to be on Amazon and Netflix.
Okay, cool.
So just, I guess, keep an eye out for it.
I actually act in it. We didn't mention that.
Carl the Delt.
I play Carl the Delt. It was supposed to be like a one-off scene.
Becomes a...
Emphasis on the off. It became, honestly, what would be like close to a top billing character.
And I would almost say you're a romantic lead in the film too, because you have a very romantic scene with an object.
With an object, Jesus. And also, I mean, hey, you picked on him a little bit. You wanna go ahead and let's do him a favor. Let's name Collins. What's Collins movies that are?
Domestic Hell is
Domestic Hell is the most
new
one
that's going to be coming out soon.
Yeah.
And then Sleepover, that's on Amazon.
Okay.
And Bloody Drama.
Bloody
that's
Drama.
On, that's on Amazon as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bloody Drama's
pretty Yeah, check good. It. Yeah, pretty, it's on Amazon.
Yeah,
I watched
it's pretty,
it.
Pretty
it's the
good.
Halloween season. You got to check
yeah,
it out.
Yeah, yeah, it's a pretty cool film. Made in Texas.
Yeah.
Enjoy your barbecue.
I'm going to enjoy my barbecue. You know what? I'm trying to take, again, because for your, I'm going to put you in, you know, we said comfort food, but I think you're like, let's go with a ham and cheese sandwich.
Ham and cheese sandwich.
Some
right.
Maybe some spicy mustard on it.
You're an eggplant.
Foodie fans, write in and tell us if you know that movie reference. You will. I'll give
guy.
You some kind of prize. Well, what's the follow up? I know the follow. Do you know the follow up line?
You're an eggplant.
Yeah, you're a cantaloupe.
Yeah, cantaloupe. Yeah, I love this guy. I love this guy.
Yeah, I love it. We end every episode with a sign-off line, which is, there's more to cut. And actually, I haven't said in a while, but that comes from, that's something that my grandmother would always say, and I know that you are aware of my grandmother, because we always, around Christmas time, I mean, we'll always message one another around the holidays anyway, but you're aware of my grandmother's big Italian
the
dinner.
Feast.
The
yeah.
feast. And she makes delicious chicken parm. Maybe I'll have to bring you some of her
yeah,
chicken parm
definitely.
Sometime. But that's just a line she always said when she would, you know, make dinner, there's more to cut. So if you could just grace us with letting the foodie fans know that.
There's more to cut.
Yummy, 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 I got love in my tummy, and I feel like I'm loving you. Love you such a sweet thing.